If you don't have a Bible, we have them right over there for you. So open your holy Biblias to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be talking about something.
My holy Biblia, that's 5%.
I have no Biblia.
Biblia. Well, hey, we provide Biblias to the Biblia-less.
My Biblia's about to die.
Dude, well, I mean, Hebrew says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So that's a weird Biblia you've got. Matthew 6, verse 25. That's the one. Oh, I wrote 24 up there. LOL.
I started around 24.
All right, guys. So, everyone's there?
No.
Tonight. Tonight, we are, while you guys are turning there, I'm going to tell you what we're talking about tonight. Tonight, we are talking about an issue that is very important. It's an issue that you're going to kind of battle throughout your life. It's something that's very common, and that issue is anxiety. Anxiety is that feeling that you get when there's something coming down the pipes and you're just not sure how it's going to go. Justin was saying that it's what if plus catastrophe plus I can't handle this. So anxiety is stress. Anxiety is worrying. And so when we're talking about anxiety, there are a lot of different reasons that you might face anxiety. You might be anxious about your job. You might be anxious about school. There might be some deadline coming down your way that you're like shaking in your boots over. There might be a game that you're going to play and that you're really invested in the outcome. There's all kinds of reasons why we can feel anxiety. And anxiety is something that Jesus addresses in no uncertain terms. So here in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be talking about anxiety. And Jesus has been talking about how you think about the world and how that flows out into your behavior. So we've talked about things like the prayer. We've talked about things like fasting. We've talked about things like alms. We've talked about things like having an eternal perspective, laying up your treasures in heaven. And anxiety is actually along a similar vein. So we're going to be talking about it. And let's just start reading in verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not clothe you, O you of little faith?" And so when we're looking at anxiety, I'm actually going to read the whole section. We're going to break it up afterward. So verse 31, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So as we're looking at that, there's a few things that we're going to do. We're going to be looking at this because when you're feeling anxiety, it actually tells you something about your internal realities. Have any of you guys ever been inside a car?
Yeah.
Do you guys know what the check engine light is?
No.
It's like a light that comes on the dashboard, and it basically is the car telling you, like, hey, I need my oil changed, or my engine's breaking down. Yeah. Even if you haven't driven a car or done any sort of mechanical stuff, I feel like everyone knows what a check engine light is for the most part. If not, you learned about it tonight. Your emotions are kind of like a check engine light. Your emotions tell you what you actually think about the world around you. For example, are any of you guys really, really nervous that your chair is going to break under you right now?
No.
You know how I can know you're not nervous about it? Because no one's shaking in their boots. No one's like tentative about the chair, watching their chair. If, you know, right now you're not nervous about your chair breaking, why not? Why aren't you nervous that your chair is going to break? You've sat in enough chairs that you can kind of have some confidence in it, right? This isn't like some particularly rickety-looking chair. You've sat in plenty of chairs and not had an issue. The reason that you're not anxious about it is because you are confident that the chair can support your weight.
So you don't think about it.
Yeah, so you don't think about it. Now, let me ask you this. Well, let's just say that there's someone in your family that's like playing a prank on you, right? And so they, for some reason, have been able to tell every single chair that you're going to sit in. And so for the last 2 weeks, they've been going to a bunch of your chairs and they've been like damaging the chair so that as soon as you sit in it, it breaks. So that maybe it'll break immediately, but there was one time that they got it to break exactly 2 minutes after you sat in it. So about 60% of the chairs that you've sat in over the last 2 weeks have all broken under you. Would you potentially be a little bit anxious about the chair you're sitting in right now?
No.
Yeah. All of a sudden, yeah.
No.
Because now you're not actually confident that the chair is not going to break, right? And so your emotions are going to betray how you actually feel about the chair you're sitting in. They tell you whether or not you believe that the chair can actually hold your weight. In the same way, anxiety in general, it tells you about what you actually believe about God. You might say all kinds of things. You might say that you trust God. You might say that you believe God can actually control the things that happen in your life. But if you're constantly anxious, it shows that you don't actually believe that. And so when you're anxious, I want you guys to think of your anxiety like a check engine light. I want you to think of your anxiety in terms of, this is going to show me my internal realities and it's going to give me an opportunity to work on them. You know, the command to not be anxious doesn't mean that you're going to be able to flip a switch and never again have any anxiety. It's something that you need to work on. So every time you feel anxious, you need to be intentional about thinking about the things that we're talking about today. So the first thing is that you need to check your trust. We have three things. We're going to check our trust, and we're going to check something else, and check something else. So when you're feeling anxiety, you need to check your trust. Because in verses 25 to 30, Jesus is saying, don't be anxious about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink or your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air. There's all these animals around. These animals don't plan for the future. These animals don't have jobs. These animals don't have bank accounts. These animals don't have clothes. They don't have parents. They don't have social nets. Not in the same way that we do, at least. And yet some idiot bird flying around and pooping on a statue is able to eat every day. And I'm worried that God can't provide for me. And that's what Jesus says. He says, look at those birds over there. You think that you're not more valuable to God than those birds? Well, okay. How about the lilies of the field? Lilies don't spin. They're not buying their clothes. They're not checking the latest fashion designs, and yet they look great. Is God going to clothe plants, but he's not going to clothe you? And so Jesus says, look at nature around you. Don't you see that God's able to provide? If God's able to provide for some animal with no forethought, isn't it easier to provide for you? You're a person, man. So one of the things that we need to think about is he says, oh, you of little faith. When we talk about faith, the same way that you might be nervous that a chair might break under you if they keep breaking under you, when you're nervous in general, it demonstrates that you don't have faith in God. And so there's a couple different kinds of faith. Number one, do you actually believe that God can provide for you? Because if you don't actually believe that God can give you the things that you need, then yeah, you might have something to be worried about. But the thing is, God is strong enough to give you the things that you need. So the thing is, in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. God's all-powerful, as we say. And so it's not outside of God's control to give you food. It's not outside of God's control to give you a career. If you're nervous about what you're going to do in 10 years, God has already got that figured out. So it says, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. If God sees the bird, God cares more about you than a bird. So every time you see a bird, just look at it and think to yourself, man, I'm more valuable than that bird. But God cares for that bird. So the first thing is you need to check your trust. If you're feeling anxiety, remind yourself, God does see me. Discipline yourself to remember that God sees you and God is strong enough to care. And here's the thing. If you're in a situation where you're feeling anxiety, you don't need to pretend that you're not. Is feeling anxiety a good thing? No. But if you're feeling anxious, it's not like God doesn't know that. Like, you don't need to be like, you know, God, there's all this stuff going around. I'm not anxious about it, just so you know. But could you take a look at some of these things? Like, if you're feeling anxious, playing a show in front of God is not going to help you. I want you guys to turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 3. So in Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk has just been having a conversation with God about the fact that a different nation is going to come in and conquer Israel. The Babylonians are on the Israelis' doorstep, and the Israeli people don't even know it. But Habakkuk knows it because God told him. And so Habakkuk is stressed out of his mind, man. Habakkuk is stressed about this other country that's coming in to go and basically burn down Jerusalem. In fact, literally burn down Jerusalem. So at the end of Habakkuk's conversation with God, Habakkuk prays about it. And in verse 2, it says, "O Lord, I have heard the report about you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." So Habakkuk has just had this conversation with God, and Habakkuk says to God, "Hey God, I'm still afraid. I'm anxious. I'm scared." And then he goes from verse 2 all the way down to verse 16, talking about the extraordinary works of God and the way that God has come through in the past. But then, after talking about all the ways that God's taken care of Israel in the past, he says, "I hear and my body trembles," in verse 16. "I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me." That's a pretty apt description of anxiety if I've ever heard one. "Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit beyond the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." Basically, he says, even if the worst things possible happen, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will take joy in the God of my salvation." So he prays to God, and he's anxious. He doesn't say, "God, I'm not feeling anxious. I know you're going to be good." He says, "God, I'm terrified. I know I shouldn't be. I'm terrified. Help me not be scared." So when you guys are feeling anxious, you need to recognize that that demonstrates a lack of trust. And that's not something to be done away with. Like, bring that to God. Peter says, cast your anxieties on him. So that's the first thing, is that if you're feeling anxious, it demonstrates that you're not trusting God properly. But okay, what if I'm like really wanting this job, and I know that God can give me that job, but I don't think he will? What if God has a different plan for me? I really want that job, but what if God doesn't want me to have that job? That might cause some anxiety. So there's a different kind of faith. It's not just faith in God's ability to do something, it's faith that God's plans are better than yours. And so that's the second thing. You need to check your trust, but you also need to check your priorities. You need to check your trust, and you need to check your priorities. Because, I mean, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. If you want to turn back there, hopefully you were keeping your thumb in it. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33, Jesus says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?'" Which, those are some pretty base necessities, man. Like, I've been nervous about whether or not I'd get into a school. I've been nervous about whether or not I'd get hired for a job. There's a different level of anxiety when you're nervous about whether or not you're going to be able to eat tomorrow. And Jesus is talking to people where that kind of thing was a reality. Like, that was not outside of their realm of experience. And for us, living in, you know, 21st century United States of America, that's not necessarily a question that we have to ask as often. That's a pretty major question. Like, think about how scary that is to not know whether or not you're going to eat tomorrow. And yet Jesus is talking to people where that might have been a question. And so he says, don't be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" He's saying, don't be nervous about even the most necessary things in your life, because the Father knows that you need these things. But I want you to focus on verse 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." One of the things that's really important is that sometimes we're nervous that God's not going to give us what we want because we want what we want more than we want what God wants. Or I should say, more than we want what God wants for us. And I want to give you an example. Imagine that you've got a kid. And this kid, he really wants to eat cake for dinner tonight. In fact, he wants to eat cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, not just today, but every day. Heck yeah. Right? And like, yeah, so he goes to his parents. He knows that his parents can give him cake. And he says, "Mom and Dad, I want cake for every single meal, every single day." That kid might be really nervous because he knows that his parents can give him the cake, but they might say no. His parents might make him eat Brussels sprouts. His parents might make him eat broccoli or, you know, things that aren't cake. But he knows better what he needs than his parents, right? Why would his parents be so unkind as to not give him the thing he's asking for? Because his parents know better. You might think you want cake. You might think you want the thing that tastes good. But your parents know that if you eat just cake, you're going to be sick. You're going to be weak. Your body's not going to form the way it needs to. Your parents love you enough to not give you the thing that you think you want. And the thing is, God's like that. Because we might think we know a whole lot, but God knows more than we do. And so if you have a job lined up that you really want, God might not want that job for you. Maybe he has a better job lined up behind it, or maybe he has a worse job lined up behind it because there's ways he knows you need to grow. If you're at school and you're really wanting to get into one of your classes that you really want, or maybe you're trying to get into college in a few years for some of you, and you really want to get into this one school, God might have something different for you. Maybe he has a better school behind it, or maybe he doesn't want you in college. Maybe there's a job he wants you working because there's someone there he's going to have you share the gospel with. And the thing you need to remember is that when you're feeling anxiety, it might be a lack of faith in God's ability to provide. It also might be a lack of faith that God's plans are better. And you need to remember, God knows better than I do. So when you're feeling anxiety, take a step back and recognize God can provide this for me, and if he doesn't, he knows better than I do. You need to remember that you need to have faith in who God is. And I mean, there are some famous verses that are usually talked about in terms of anxiety, but they're not talked about in context with the verses that are right next to them. So I want to read those verses to you and talk to you a little bit about them. Psalm 46, 8 through 10, beautiful verse. In verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." You know, be still. Don't strive. Chill out. Don't be anxious. But I'm going to read you the entire 8 through 10. It says, "Come behold the works of God, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He has made wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire." God's a baller. God's powerful. Even the most chaotic war that happens in the world, God's in control of that, man. You can have trust in God's character. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Here's the thing that I want you to notice. People will say, "Be still and know that I am God." But notice he says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth." You get anxious when you're not sure that you're going to get the things you want. And God says, "Don't be anxious. I'm going to be exalted. Don't be anxious. The entire world's going to worship me. Why would you be anxious? That's what you want, right? For me to be exalted. You don't need to worry about that. It's going to happen." Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm nervous, I'm not usually nervous about whether or not God's going to be glorified. And that's the thing. God says, if your priorities are lined up with my priorities, you have nothing to be worried about. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Well, okay, there's another one. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us." That's an awesome verse, man. God's able to give you even more than anything you could even think to ask him for. "To him be the glory in the church and in the Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." He says, to the one who can give us everything we need, may he be glorified forever. Again, a lack of anxiety is paired with having the same priorities as God. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." No matter where you go, God's with you and God's there to take care of you, but God's going to have a different plan for your life than you might. So when you're feeling anxiety, you need to check your trust. Do I actually believe that God can care for me? And you need to check your priorities. What do I care about? Do I want what I want, or do I genuinely believe that God has a better plan? Because you need to be mindful in those situations and actually help yourself believe these things. But working on those kinds of things takes time, man. And the thing with time is that sometimes you're anxious in the moment and you don't have time to have like 5 years of training in your back pocket having taught yourself to think this way. So there's a third thing that you can do in the moment to help you be less anxious at the time, and that is to check your perspective. Check your perspective. If we go back to verse 34, Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One of the main things that you're going to have anxiety about are things in the far future that you have no control over. You might be super anxious about what the state of the country is going to be like in 10 years. You might be really, really anxious about who gets elected as president. You might be really, really anxious about, will I have enough money to retire? And it's like, why are you thinking about retirement? You're 17. But those are the kinds of things that you get into your 20s, and all of a sudden you might be really anxious about things that are far off in the future that you actually can't control right now, that you can't deal with right now. And so when you're feeling anxiety about those things that are way off in the future, I want you to take a step back. And like Jesus said, think about today. You know, personally, I'm going to read you Proverbs 24. It says, "The sluggard does not plow in the autumn, so he will seek at harvest and have nothing." Which this is interesting, because the Bible is saying you need to think about the future. You know, if you're trying to do agriculture and you don't sow seed, you're not going to have anything to harvest. And so we're supposed to think about the future, right? But here's the thing. You only think about the future as much as you need to do what you're supposed to today. I don't need to think about who's going to get elected as president. I don't need to think about what the state of the United States is going to be in 40 years. I don't have control over those things, and they're not going to impact how I act today. So you only think about the future as much as you need to do what you're supposed to today. Because each day is as stressful as it needs to be on its own. And there's a second kind of perspective that I want you guys to think about. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us." He says, however bad things get in this life, on this earth, heaven's way better. Romans 8:28 says that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Which that's related to the last one, by the way. If you believe that God's got your best interest at heart, that what God has for you is genuinely the best thing, then even when you don't get what you want, you're not going to be nervous because you know that God has something better. So, additionally, I want you guys to think about a second kind of perspective. I remember when I was in school, I would constantly get nervous about tests. I would get super nervous about my math test, about my homework. I'd be really nervous that I'd meet deadlines. I'd have like a massive project that was due on Friday night and I had only just started it Thursday afternoon. Or more likely, it was like Sunday afternoon. I had a paper due at midnight that I hadn't started. And I'd be super nervous about deadlines. I'd be really nervous about grades. And I feel that grind, man. That grind is real. And here's one of the pieces of advice that helped me so much as a student and continues to help me now. Put yourself 500 years from now. Like, sit down, sit back, think about the thing that you're nervous about, and imagine yourself in 500 years. If you're a Christian, where are you going to be in 500 years?
I hope heaven.
That's right. Heaven. So think about where you're going to be in 500 years. Imagine yourself in heaven. Imagine yourself having been long dead for probably about 400 years. Is the thing that you're nervous about still going to matter? A lot of times, no. If I think about my math exam, if I get like, you know, a C on my math test, in 500 years, I'm not gonna care. In 500 years, it won't matter anymore. If I did or didn't get that job, in 500 years, it's not gonna matter anymore. The things that matter in 500 years are altogether different. And if you're thinking about what's gonna matter in 500 years, you're gonna be doing exactly what Jesus said, where he said, seek first the kingdom of God. So that's like radically helpful. Plus, it's an awesome exercise in thinking about heaven and making it real for yourself. So if you're in a situation where you're feeling anxiety, it demonstrates a lack of faith in God. It either means that you don't trust God's ability to provide for you, or it means that you don't have the same priorities that God does. It either means that you don't trust God's ability to provide, or that you don't trust that God's got your best interests at heart. And so when you're feeling anxiety, you need to take a step back and remind yourself, no, God can take care of this for me. And if God has something else for me, it means that's genuinely better. Think about that. And check your perspective. If you're still feeling nervous, if you're thinking about the thing, think, okay, do I have any control over this thing? Is this actually going to impact my behavior today? If the answer is no, stop thinking about it. Go do something else. Play a game, read a book, whatever. Stop thinking about it. And then think about, in 500 years, will this still matter? Put yourself in that place. Like, genuinely try to imagine yourself in heaven 500 years from now. It helps so much, and it helped me so much. So I want you to remember, Anxiety is like a check engine light. It reveals what you actually believe about the world. So when you're feeling anxiety, let's take a step back and think about what's lying underneath it. So with that, let's bow our heads, pray it out. Lord, thank you that you know where we're at. Thank you that you're not blind to anxiety, but also that you don't excuse it. Lord, anxiety is a symptom of an internal issue where we aren't thinking about you properly, where we don't genuinely believe the things that we say we believe. I pray that you would help each of us to view anxiety not as a curse that can't be dealt with, but instead as a check engine light. Help us to, when we're anxious, genuinely think about who you are, your ability to care for us, and your willingness to care for us, and the fact that you have better plans than we do. I pray that you would help us to trust you, trust your character, and trust your power, and that that would alleviate stress. And Lord, also, I pray that we would have proper perspective, that we would think about things in the scale of eternity, that we would recognize that if it doesn't matter in 500 years, it doesn't matter that much now. And that, Lord, we wouldn't think about the things we can't control, but instead that we would focus on each day and what you have for us in that day to do. And Lord, I pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen.